So, anybody in the mood for Fruit Loops?
And we're back. Welcome once again to Mike, Mike, and Oscar. This is our Oscar Sprint profile for Get Out. I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
I am also Mike. And how come Get Out doesn't have an exclamation point at the end of it?
It was used. Mother borrowed it. Aronofsky needed it. What he lacked in uppercase lettering at the beginning of his title, he made up for in post-lettering punctuation.
I haven't seen any Blumhouse movies with punctuation, though, so maybe that's it.
Yeah,
it's a Blumhouse thing.
Yeah,
Jordan Peele lost that battle. Get Out!
We're doing Get Out, the Oscar Sprint Profile, our latest in the series of Oscar movies. We're trying to analyze and break down the leading contenders for the names that you're going to hear on your way to Oscars night in Hollywood's biggest night. January 23rd, all the Oscar nominations come out, and this movie is sure to hear its name for a couple categories, God willing.
We feel good about ourselves because back in our very first episode at the end of the summer, we touted this as an Oscar contender. We said that it should, you know, all the buzz should be real. And now we're finally getting validated. Like, look, we're not going to put ourselves in the projection business necessarily. We're more of a review, a preview, a film appreciation and criticism kind of medley in terms of podcasting goes.
You should have said yet at the end of that sentence.
So, I mean, we got this one right, though, and that's
yeah, we've
validation.
Been kind of carrying the torch here for, I'm not going to say that.
White man speaking. Saying the wrong things. He probably should leave that in. That fits with the liberal elite racism in the movie. Good job.
We've been carrying the flag for Jordan Peele's directorial chances, for screenplay chances. We've been saying over and over again, get this man an Oscar for this movie. He deserves it. We've been pounding the table, which has been picked up by our microphones over the summer. We were pounding our chests. We say it every chance we get. We've talked about this movie a couple times already. We're going to add in what we can, and Mike's usually the good leadoff guy to do that, and he's always coming up with little nuggets of information. So let's get it started. We usually do production profile first, but Mike's going to start us off with cast and crew for Get Out, the Jordan Peele epic. Go ahead,
yeah, Mike. I want to set the stage a little bit differently. Cast and crew first. It was written and directed by Jordan Peele. It was his direct.
I'm not familiar with him.
It was his directorial debut, the most lucrative debut in a long, long time.
I think he's going to do well for himself after this.
Yeah, he's been sought after. Like we said, Peele was born in New York City, raised by a single mom, went to Sarah Lawrence College for 2 years before dropping out to pursue his comedy duo with Keegan-Michael Key. We all know them from Key and Peele. He regularly performed at Boom City and Second City in Chicago. His first big break came with a casting on Mad TV, where he spent 5 years from 03 to 08.
I remember him vividly on Mad TV, and I was always a guy that watched Mad TV leading in SNL. And if you were to tell me, you know, one of these people is going to be the breakout performer in a couple of years, I don't think the money would have been on Peele. I think it would have been on Keegan-Michael Key, which is not to say he's not a success in his own right, obviously.
Right.
He's doing very well for himself, but very surprising that Jordan Peele had this in him, but at the same time, man, is he a talented guy.
I watched Mad TV way back, like in the end of the 90s, early 2000s.
The Mo Collins era. Yeah.
I stopped watching it, but yeah, that's interesting. Jordan Peele was in Weird Al Yankovic's video for White and Nerdy with Keegan-Michael Key. He was in David Wayne's film Wanderlust. And then in 2012, his star-making turn came with the launch of the Comedy Central series, Key and Peele. It became a viral and a TV sensation.
Dave Chappelle, huge fan of that show.
Yeah, right. Remaking the Dave Chappelle show. Peele's filmmaking career began with that show. He literally said that directing all these sketches was like making 1,000 short films. It was like the best training ground ever for a filmmaker.
There is it's such a wild ride because, okay, it's Jordan Peele, who you wouldn't have thought from that Mad TV ensemble was going to be the breakout, and then it's Jordan Peele, who is a comedy writer and a stand-up comedian and a sketch comedian who's making a horror movie and the most culturally relevant movie probably of the last, 10, 15, 20 years?
It's a movie that has engaged a lot of people at the box office. It's engaged a lot of people at home. It's on VOD right now on HBO. If you're just go after HBO to watch it. So it's
if you haven't seen
available.
This movie, you need to see this
It's the movie of the year in terms of its cultural impact, no question. So Key and Peele does really well. He gets movie rumors that he's going to work with Judd Apatow on a movie that really hasn't come out yet.
He's
it's still supposed
be
to.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So Key and Peele are going to be in that. You know, Keegan-Michael Key, they kind of branched off a little bit Friends from College, Keegan-Michael Key's doing that on Netflix.
I watched that. That was pretty good.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Jordan Peele is married to comedian Chelsea Peretti, who's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's hilarious.
How do you think Thanksgiving at that house went this year? Yeah. After this movie and the success it had.
Jordan Peele has said throughout the promotional interviews that this is not an indication of what I have lived.
Well, what's he
going to
say? Yeah, these are my in-laws.
With the family, he's got great. He's really complimented his in-laws many a times, but he's married to a white woman,
yes.
An Italian girl that couldn't look any more Italian.
Also very hilarious.
She's awesome. She's hysterical. But yeah, listen to all those interviews. He's really funny throughout the promotional interviews, even if you just do like a YouTube hour where you just go after the Get Out stuff on there. Listen, Get Out stars Daniel Kaluuya, and for a while I was wrestling with the pronunciation of that name. Every promotional interview, every interview says Kaluuya, but I was going on online and YouTube and the robotic pronunciation
thing. It's been a big chase for you for the last couple
months. It
was
just like the robotic voice would just be like, Kaluuya. Hold on, I have it better. And the robotic voice would be like, Kaluuya. Fuck, I had it in the car. Kaluuya. Fuck, I had a great impression in the car. I can only do it when I'm fucking when I'm not talked out.
This
I can't do
amazing.
It when I'm talked out. I'm talked out and I can't do it. It's like fuck.
You sound like a mother duck.
Well, the robot voice is just like Kaluuya. And I thought it was Kaluuya, but it's not. It's Kaluuya. Anyway,
I don't know what we're leaving in and editing out of this episode, but Mike has just spent the last 5 minutes trying to mimic the Google Translator robot voice for Daniel Kaluuya's last name pronunciation,
Kaluuya.
And it's been just outstanding.
I'm not a performer. I don't speak good. Get Out stars Daniel Kaluuya, who was born in London, the son of Ugandan immigrants. He finished his A-levels, which I think is British speak for high school, and then dove straight into acting. He made his debut in the controversial BBC miniseries Shoot the Messenger, and he was in a cast of Skins, which is a very popular show, where he was also a writer for the spin-off series Jal. He was the head writer for that. He then went on to a bunch of British theater, winning a bunch of awards for his role in Sucker Punch, not the Zack Snyder movie, the Roy Williams play. In 2011, he
Are
made
we
his
sure they're not part of the same universe.
In 2011, he made his short film starring debut in Baby, which won a bunch of awards. Then he had a part in Johnny English Reborn, the Mr. Bean movie, before diving back into British TV for The Fades. His star-making performance came in the Black Mirror episode 15 Million Merits, which for my money is still my favorite Black Mirror episode, and that's saying a lot. I like a lot of those episodes.
You and everybody else with a pulse, I think.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. We reviewed Netflix Year in Review. Go back and look at it. But look, I mean, he goes to Hollywood. He stars in the movie Sicario, which was like my favorite film from a couple years ago.
Yes. Do you like what I'm adding in here? Yes.
From his interviews, Kaluuya says that he wants to be a writer eventually, and he wants to read good scripts, and he reads a ton of scripts. He reads them just for fun. When he got the script for Get Out, he had to do this movie. He's been very choosy, and he doesn't do movies he doesn't like, but he got Ryan Coogler's script for The Black Panther. He got Jordan Peele's script for Get Out. He had to do those, and The Black Panther comes out in February. Can't wait to see him in that. But Daniel Kaluuya getting a lot of Oscar momentum, as we said he should back in our first pod. We told you so. We were saying it, and we were proud of ourselves. We made one. But then again, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Anyway, the film also stars, this is Get Out, also stars Allison Williams from HBO's Girls, Bradley Whitford from The West Wing.
Eric!
And Billy Madison. He's also become the quintessential horror comedy villain?
I just recently rewatched Cabin in the Woods, and he's absolutely hysterical in that.
Catherine Keener is again, great in this movie as the mom.
Loaded cast. Absolutely loaded cast.
She's
total professionals, people that kill their roles in everything they do.
She's been in everything in the 2000s, from being John Malkovich to the 40-year-old version. Caleb Landry Jones, who I confuse for Lakey Stanfield because I'm a bad person.
You are. That's true.
That's very true.
I can confirm. But
Caleb Landry Jones in everything this year. Three billboards.
Just, I mean, how Florida does Project. The man, does he have a family? Does he have a home? Or does he just live in movie set trailers? He's in everything.
His girlfriend is the girl from Alias Grace in 11/22/63.
Good Lord. Guy, just workaholic.
The movie also stars like Keith Stanfield from Crown Heights, Stephen Root, Little Ray Howery, Marcus Henderson, and Betty Gabriel. Performances that we really, really like all across the board. In terms of the story, Inception, yes, Jordan Peele married a white woman, Chelsea Peretti. So he lived some of this plot, even though he says it's not a one-to-one comparison. But he does say the story is very personal, and then it kind of quickly veers off from anything autobiographical.
Yeah, sure.
The Stepford
Wives.
I'm
on to you, Paredes. All right? You may be fooling everyone else, but I know what you do in your free time.
The Stepford Wives, Rosemary's Baby, and 60s films in general are what Peele quotes as like being the major influences on Get Out. I would say like Mary Harron's American Psycho, but the script to me feels like one of those Cornetto trilogy movies.
I mean, you could see the influences from movies like the old horror slashers like Psycho and whatnot, but yeah. This is unlike anything that's come out. I mean, this is just unique.
It is unique. It is unique. There's no question about it. Jordan Peele thought the horror and comedy genres were similar. So much of it, he says, was pacing. So much of it is about the reveals. And he says they did a lot of horror comedy stuff on Key and Peele that trained him for this.
And the outrage, I mean, that's one of the biggest outrages that happened, as the Golden Globes, which has just happened recently, categorize this movie, Get Out, as a musical comedy. It put it in the Best Picture musical comedy genre because it didn't qualify it as a documentary. Or, Jesus, it didn't qualify it as a drama, and people were all up in arms.
Right.
And Jordan Peele kind of squashed all the hate with that when he tweeted out that Get Out is a documentary. Was his response.
So he has been funny in the promotional campaigns leading up to these Oscars here, but he does mention the film deals with racism. But he also kind of pinpoints the type of racism. It's not just the racism of Ku Klux Klan members in the Deep South.
No, this is casual white person every day.
Liberal elitist racism.
I have black friends.
I know
Tiger. Racism.
I know. Yep. I know. Well, I would vote for Obama again. So it's a horror movie, but it has a satirical premise, Peele says. Principal photography began in February 2016. It was shot in Fairhope and Mobile, Alabama. Peele was worried about the film's success. He talked a lot about whether or not white people would like it, black people would like it. He was worried that it would be somewhere in between and it wouldn't get either audience. And he was wrong because it got both. It got
and
both.
Then some. But I mean, imagine just, you know, we can't relate to having this kind of pressure put on you for filming this type of movie, this magnitude with this subject matter. But imagine trying to walk this razor thin tightrope and trying to not piss off the white people, the black people, hoping they get the message, hoping it's done well enough. And I mean, I could understand this being anxiety inducing.
He did talk about it in the interviews that he did not want a white surrogate character in this movie, really. I mean, there's sort of one for a time. We'll get into it in spoilers, but there's really not. You gotta be in the POV of Daniel Kaluuya, and that's what a great filmmaker does.
Phenomenally well done. Getting to some specs.
I'm ready.
All right, let's do some specs for Get Out. Written and directed, as Mike said, by Jordan Peele. Debuted at Sundance January 24th, 2017. Went wide a month later on February 24th. 104-minute runtime, distributed by Universal. So one of the rare Oscar-worthy films this year, not distributed by A24. A 7.7 IMDb rating on 214,000-plus reviews with an 84 Metascore from Metacritic.
Wow.
A little surprising. I would have expected it to be higher, but that's all right.
Still, horror comedy getting an 84.
For its Rotten Tomato scores, it is 99% certified fresh Rotten Tomato.
Who's that 1%?
298 critics, 3 negative reviews. Thanks, guys.
Wow.
3 negative reviews and a average critic score of 8.3 out of 10. 87% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes with an average score of 4.2 out of 5 on over 67,000 audience reviews. Let's talk about a success story. $4.5 million budget. How'd it do in the box office? Well, $254.3 million gross thus far, making it the 175.4 domestic gross, 78.8 internationally. It gives it the 254.3. It's the 34th highest grossing film in 2017 worldwide, the 16th highest domestic grossing film.
I would bet it picked up another like 50 to 100 million on video. It's sold to HBO for distribution now.
It's doing well.
It's making bank.
Two Golden Globe nominations. We're recording this before the Globes happen, so you're going to know the outcome of these. Should have probably had more Golden Globe nominations, but is nominated for Lead Actor in a Musical Comedy for Kaluuya and Best Picture Musical or Comedy. Again, we talked about the outrage leading into that nomination. Two SAG nominations for Outstanding Cast and Kaluuya for Lead Actor. Five Critics' Choice noms. Best Sci-Fi Horror, Best Original Screenplay, Best Director for Peel, Best Lead Actor for Kaluuya, and Best Picture. It did finish, of course, in the AFI Top 10 for Top 10 Movies of 2017. Kaluuya does have a handful of Critics Circle Award wins for lead actor to his resume, including from the African American Film Critics Association and the Boston Society of Film Critics Awards. However, as has been the case since
also won MTV too, yeah.
Yeah, it was also an MTV Movie Award winner. But as has been the case since the movie came out, the star-making quality, as Mike has talked about and we were both conversing about prior to this, Jordan Peele. In total, of all major award circles, Peele has received a nomination for one of Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, or some aspect in relation to this film 70 times or more. 7-0.
Awesome.
If you have a critic circle, Jordan Peele's name has been in your mouth, rightfully so, for this movie.
I don't know if we push this movie up for the right reasons. We're kind of genre movie cheerleaders, and I thought, as horror comedies goes, this was an awesome movie, and we've been saying for Best Director, he deserves it for The Balancing Act. We've been saying for Best Screenplay at the very least, and the screenplay is awesome in its own right. Right now, it's going to be a contender for both screenplay and director and picture, says Feinberg Forecast. He has it a front runner, Best Picture Director, Original Screenplay, Major Threat for Best Actor in Editing. And Mike, you're going to finish up the awards here.
Yeah, let's talk about some Gold Derby stuff. It was shut out of the Gold Globes for screenplay and director, which is capable of its own outrage in its own right. But
Hollywood Foreign Press is old, but they're getting more powerful.
I'm guessing maybe white.
Shit.
As far as the Gold Derby stats, we love bringing you Gold Derby. Get Out is on 29 of all, so every Gold Derby critic's top 10 best picture lists, and has seen its chances rise as the year has gone on. It is now sitting at 8 different critics' number one spot for best picture.
Wow. It was five a week ago.
That was not the case not too long ago. Kaluuya is on 19 best actor lists. He was only on 9 as of a month ago.
Wow, 12 last week.
Zero number one still. Jordan Peele on 17 best director lists was 10 a month ago.
Yeah, 11 last week. Wow.
Only one number one, though, thus far, which is outrageous.
Yeah, it was zero last week, though.
Well, all right. So getting a little momentum in the right way. Still, one is, I just can't. It's a big director year. We hammered that a lot talking about the Florida Project and that Oscar sprint profile. But man, Jordan Peele, get him an Oscar for direct. I mean, at least he's got to be in the nomination. And 27 best screenplay lists, including 14 having it at number one. It was 10 number ones a month ago.
Wow.
So
13
a week ago. So you see every category, the screenplay, the director, the acting category. This is starting, the wheels are in motion again, picking up. Also, one last note, it has won the Stanley Kramer Award for Producers Guild of America for Most Culturally Relevant Film of the Year. It also snagged itself a Best Screenplay nomination for the Writers Guild of America Awards. We like talking about the guilds and giving you a little preview into those. So let's talk about this movie. What were your expectations way back in February when you saw Get Out?
I had seen Keanu, and I didn't like Keanu after a half hour. It was funny at the beginning, and not so much as it went along. As I said before, I was a fan of Key and Peele, and I was still with Jordan Peele. I wanted him to succeed. So I went to this hoping for the best, and I can't believe you got this masterful direction, you know, melding horror and comedy like nobody has done since Mary Harron's American Psycho.
It's amazing to me to, like, to think about the world we live in post Get Out. this movie, well, again, it was this comedy director, and you had heard when the critic screenings were done, you had heard the movie's really good. This movie's getting a lot of momentum, a lot of publicity. I don't think anything could have prepared any of us for just what this movie would become. And it's kind of become a movement. And Jordan Peele has a little bit been the face of the movement in Hollywood, where not only for racism and minority representing minorities in film, but Jordan Peele came out with Get Out. And then there was Kumail Nanjiani with The Big Sick. And this whole minority movement, whether it was because of race or minority in gender with the women's movement, this whole momentum of this past year has really changed the face of Hollywood. And there's a big argument to be made that it started with Get Out. And clearly, at least I wasn't prepared for that train to leave the station and this be the conductor of it.
It's fun to watch because Hollywood is being crushed by scandal. The industry's been behind TV. The TV's had a resurgence like it never has before. So Hollywood's like getting hungry again, and it's great to see like the crucible of all that actually creating opportunities for Jordan Peele, and then he pulls off a masterpiece. Opportunities for Greta Gerwig, for Luca Guadagnino, for all these filmmakers with such unique voices like Sean Baker and The Florida Project, such unique voices to tell unique stories and still have it palatable for the masses, have it, you know, as something that you can relate to as a white schmo, as a white man from Connecticut. You know, you can relate to Daniel Kaluuya dealing with this crap, and it's just great storytelling, great filmmaking. So I don't think people have to wonder about what my review is going to be.
Yeah, neither of us. I mean, like we said, we've talked about this movie a couple times previously, and yeah, we both gush over it, but it's we gush over it not because Jordan Peele is a black man that made a movie about racism or culturally relevant movie. We gush over it because this is a fantastic movie.
And it's my favorite genre when it's pulled off right, and it's so rarely done. Like the Cornetto trilogy, Edgar Wright is perhaps the latest. Tucker and Dale versus Evil was an almost. I enjoyed that, but that it just had tonal problems. Like this is the mood and the tone of this movie is spot on, and you can rewatch it again and again and again and still find new stuff to love. So we're going to break it down for you in terms of the production values, performances, etc., on why we think this movie is so well done. I guess we'll start sound to sight. Mike, I wanted to talk about the soundtrack here. Key wanted it from uniquely black musicians and singers, distinctly black voices, and he does accomplish this. The Childish Gambino song Redbone is involved with Daniel Kaluuya's apartment. But you also have like throwbacks from the 1930s, 20s, Run Rabbit Run.
Loved it. That's one of the first songs you hear. That's the opening song that you see, as I believe it's the Dre character that's walking down the sidewalk, right?
Yes.
That Dre character, he ends up, you know, being confronted by a car that's playing Run Rabbit Run, and it's so
sounds so white.
Yeah,
for some
reason. Scary. You think it's on the nose, but the
it's feeling funny.
Of the feeling of dread that comes with such an uplifting song.
And then I will say, as we're gonna get into it in spoilers, but some of the biggest laugh of the movie for me is the choice of a song in the soundtrack. I'm just so thrilled with it. So this movie, the soundtrack does make you laugh. It does weird you out. They do a great job picking the music in this one.
And the influences, the sharp violin notes that call you back to movies like Psycho. And
right.
They have, you can see, that's what we talked about in the beginning. You can see the horror influences, and they hit them so hard and it puts you on edge. It does a great job. The sound of this movie is very, very well done, and it's unnerving in a lot of spots that it needs to be.
So originally we had heard buzz that it was going to be up for the Sound Awards mixing and editing, but it's fallen off a little bit on that. Still high quality stuff just for being talked about. I guess we move into the costume production design here, man. And I thought the yuppie clothes on everyone
there were so many like little nods and winks.
Terrific,
And tiny things done to make you relate to these awful people.
Yeah, and not just with the white family, but Betty Gabriel, Lakeith Stanfield. I mean, they're pulling off some outfits that are funny that Lil Ray talks about, that, of course, Chris, Daniel Kaluuya's character, brings into to the audience's face. Obviously, you got a horror movie through line here, so this monster in the house structure is claustrophobic, so I think they do a nice job with the woods and the production design of that, with the looking up through the window of the car. So the cinematography and the visual style of the directing, it's just polished, and I'm so surprised.
On a shoestring budget
with a first-time director, that you're getting such a composition, and it's just an overall composition. positions. That's why we thought from the beginning that this should be palatable to Academy voters, especially with the new influence of the Academy expansion, that you should get more younger people voting. It's not just the old white guy in the balcony voting for Oscars anymore. So hopefully...
Yeah, Sadler and Waldorf don't run the world.
And it took a while throughout this whole award season for the critics to get on board with this movie in terms of projections. Like we said, it's been...
It's happening currently. I mean, this movie's been out for a year, and it's still getting momentum because it wasn't seen as an Oscar favorite in these big categories early on.
The first time we reviewed this baby back at the end of the summer, we were like angry at a lot of the critics and the podcasts we were listening to because they were saying, well, this will only, its best day is original screenplay. Its best day is maybe sound mixing and editing. That we were hearing that at the time and we were mentioning it. We were like upset. No, Jordan Peele has to be a best director.
And I'll tell you what, his lack of number ones for all these expert critics is still absurd to me. I mean, this is guy's first attempt. And look what he did, not only with a horror movie, and I can understand if you want to, you know, we talk, Mike's
it's
been
not as great of a horror movie. It's more of a thriller like we were going to talk about. Right. But it's not going to jump scare the shit out of you.
No.
However, it has a couple.
But it's a horror movie. You know, it's still a horror movie.
It's creepy.
And it's this guy's first attempt at anything that's not comedy.
If we weren't white, it might be even more of a horror movie. We're kind of just laughing at the joke.
This is also a problem I wanted to bring up. I mean,
this is true.
The cynic in me is saying there's so many critics out there that want to prove that they're accepting, that they're on the right side of history with this argument and this momentum. Is that scaring them?
But they still
don't
get it, you think.
Like, exactly.
We're young and we're connoisseurs of the genre, so maybe we do get it a little bit. We're young-ish.
Well, man, we were both raised in homes where, you know, I hate to be on a soapbox, but we were both raised in homes where we're all inclusive and to view people in a certain way.
And we do have good parents.
And to not see a difference in color and creed. And I think that's apropos of a lot of the young generation, a lot of the millennials kind of see it that way. And not all of them, by any means. There's a lot of bad people and a lot of people that need a different perspective. But I wonder if the older critics and the older generation just don't want to be on the wrong side of history of this, and that's tainting their mind. I wonder how genuinely embracing this movie those critics are. And that's the cynic in me. I hope that's not the case at all, and I hope I'm totally wrong there. I hope everyone's just coming to their senses and loving this as much as we have from day one.
I think the early release of it might actually become a positive for its Oscar chances because folks can go on HBO on demand right now and just watch it 3 or 4 more times like we have. I mean, this is a movie you can rewatch, and I'm just in amazement how just thoroughly strong the composition is. And the cinematography is a great reason for it. What they do with some of the horror movie scenes and the visuals, I'm just so impressed with the... And it's scary. Those, some of the best visual effects in this movie are the scariest scenes of the movie. But listen, editing should win. It was on Gold Derby with a lot of praise. We forgot to mention that, but a week ago it was like 22 out of 26 had it up there. I'm not smart enough or close enough to my short filmmaking days really to give you all the details on why it should win. Again, it's just a balancing act. It's trying to be funny. It's trying to be scary. And you have to be a master of the timing in that regard, like Jordan Peele says. So the editing makes sense to be, you know, something that they tout.
The combination, and I'm not intricate enough with the filmmaking world to give editing that much
editors.
I'm certainly not any kind of qualification. I saw this may not be an editing
comment. Some of you might be making great movies on your iPhones out there. If you are, tell us about it.
Yeah, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
But combination of the relevant impact of this movie and the comedy, what's surprising to me is that you, for what this movie talks about, you haven't heard of a lot of backlash about it being, you know, too black or too liberal or too much of a message, which is again, it's the cynic in me talking, but it's surprising to me that he was able to please all audiences the way he has.
My thesis is going to be this movie stands up on rewatch, and you're going to love to rewatch this movie.
We've both seen it multiple times already.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it's great.
To get into the performances, I think we're going to go supporting cast into the leads. And I know you loved Betty Gabriel's performance in this one.
Yes, I did.
The housekeeper.
I did. She was outstanding to me. Anybody that can cry with a different type of
with
face.
With a smile on her face, right. It's like her face is doing two things at once.
I think that's outstanding. it's great. I'm using all the weak words that you use to describe people, but I'm out of words to talk about this film with because it's just, it's outstanding. It's a great film.
Jordan Peele mentioned the delicious contrast of having Bradley Whitford from The West Wing just be the total example, to be the example, the epitome, whatever you want to say, of the liberal elite racist.
Yes. He voted That's for Obama and he would have done it again.
He would have done it again. He's walking the halls with C.J. Craig and Allison Janning on West Wing for our formative years. And here he is saying, my man, and all those awful things. And he actually says that a couple times at the film festivals, gets a huge laugh. We loved Little Ray in this movie. He was hysterical.
Very well-timed comedic relief. He was early on in our first episode when we did our Where We Were Standing for the Oscars in 2017, back over the summer. Right. I even thought about putting him in the supporting actor category because he was just, first of all, it's a weak feel, but second of all, he does such a great job in this movie of being what he needs to be.
Right.
Which is, you know, the unwitting best friend who knows more than we lets on to begin with.
And let's be honest here. He is doing shtick. I mean, this is obvious comic relief.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it, no matter how people's will get offended or talk about how this movie's not a comedy. It is a horror comedy. There's no question about it.
I mean, Jordan Peele's
making jokes about it, right? So, I mean, Caleb Landry Jones, we loved his performance, as well as Kathleen Keener, the brother and the mother.
Kathleen Keener was outstanding in this. She's very probably the most reserved out of any other performers. She's very pulls back a lot, and she's also aided. The mother is a hypnotist in this movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, if you haven't seen it, go see it immediately and then come back and listen to us.
Right.
But she plays a hypnotist or a psychotherapist. She's able to get into the heads of the people. She's aided. I noticed her scenes have a lot of sound editing to go on top of them. Like when she's first meeting with Kaluuya, he's talking about the scene where his mother died and she wants him to hear the rain. And then you hear, you know, rain falling and all these audio clues to bring you into
it's all over the trailer. This is a trailer scene too. So we're not really spoiling anything, but you're absolutely right. She works with Jordan Peele's direction very well because Jordan Peele knows what he's going to put in terms of those sound effects. Right. So yeah, Caleb Landry Jones, the brother, is a little bit more of a showy performance. He's playing with his lacrosse.
I gotta be honest.
He's getting in their faces.
He's won me over with his performance in other movies, but he was probably the biggest problem I had with this movie. And it's tending on worse scene, but it's just his performance overall. I don't know what we were supposed to feel because there's scenes in this movie where you think he's against what the family is eventually turning to do, which I don't know if we want to step on that now or
we'll talk about it in spoilers for sure. Yeah. It's a good little teaser there. I guess we'll go right into the lead performances. The protagonist is definitely Daniel Kaluuya. He needs to be nominated for Best Actor in my mind. He's still top five for me. And
his performance, I wasn't on top of him for a Best Actor performance, but as I've seen more movies and more contending movies this year, he's grown on me a lot with his performance, especially after rewatches.
Yeah, he's in my top four, honestly, going into the end of this Oscar season. So unless I see something else that bump him out, he's got to be there. And I think that he's just so smooth through this movie in terms of that he rolls with the punches, he rolls with the horror, he rolls with the comedy, super versatile. Like I said in that first podcast, I mean, he's like the lead in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which is a drama of manners and a satire. He is the straight man next to the comic relief, especially with Lil Ray. I mean, he's also the lead in a thriller when he goes on the offensive, when he's backed into a corner. I mean, it's one of the most versatile performances I've seen in years. He has the emotional scenes that he pays off extremely well that you've seen in the trailers when he's frozen and tears are running down his face.
He gives you the emotional payoffs too, because he's reserved, as you would be beating your in-laws for the first time, essentially. But when he needs to lash out, he finally explodes and he finally snaps and he shows you all aspects of what that character needs to be.
And I guess what I wanted to say before, and I kind of botched it, but he's smooth in the sense that he rolls with, you know, the racism, he rolls with the weirdness, he rolls with all the red
again,
flags.
It's casual racism.
However, he lets you know that they bother him. He lets you know how he's coping with them. He shows you like the strength of this character, rolling with those punches, kind of taking them and absorbing them. And he feels all the sting of what they're saying, and he's weirded out.
And
obviously,
he walks a tightrope too. He's only a look away from being basically the black Jim Halpert and looking to the camera and deadpanning for a ridiculous situation, which would have taken all the... I mean, you could take all the meat out of those scenes. You could take the effect that our casual racism has on African-Americans, any type of minorities. You could have taken away the seriousness of those things, but he walks such a good tightrope in that he lets you know it affects him, like you just said. He wears it.
He's not that bimbo, that vulnerable horror movie character. I mean, he's vulnerable. He's stacked against it in terms of the antagonism, what he's dealing with, but he's not that vulnerable character without agency. And it's so refreshing. I love horror movies, and Jordan Peele said the same thing. I love horror movies about capable characters.
Yes.
Because that's even more terrifying to me, right?
Totally.
Isn't that scarier? Like, the scariest thing I've probably seen in years was when all those FBI agents were driving across the border in Sicario, right? We talked about Daniel Kaluuya being in that movie. That was just, and all they were doing is just driving, and here you got these guys going up against these cartels. I mean, that's horrifying to me that people this capable are dealing with something this scary and this realistic. Oh my God. So now you got Daniel Kaluuya dealing with the forces of nature in this movie and the forces obviously of racism here.
Yeah, this vehicle is definitely Kaluuya's and Peele's. If it's not them two, though, I think the recognition after those two goes to Allison Williams.
She's awesome in this movie. It's whose side is she on throughout? It's just a balancing act. It does declare itself, and it's awesome.
She's responsible for not only my favorite scene in this movie, it's my favorite scene that I saw in 2017. We'll get into it in spoilers. She unbelievably good at being a bitch.
So how is she not in Best Supporting Actress?
I don't
know. She's pulling off. That is a loaded
field. We keep hammering that, too. It's a very loaded field.
We do say that.
There's more competition, it seems, on the actress side this year.
This is bad. We do like that. We like that restaurant.
It's in Zagat's.
Do we like... We
God give me cancer now!
You know, me oh my, the meatballs. What did he say? Holy cannoli.
Ravioli? Holy cannoli.
Oh, we digress once more. But I guess we're going to save our best worst scenes and our Oscar reel scenes for the spoilers. Some final thoughts before spoilers. I mean, the themes of the movie do want to shake some West Wing liberals, and that's a ballsy racial statement.
Yeah, it's easy to point the mirror at a hardcore racist. It's easy to reflect the mirror on somebody that's objectively bad.
Right.
That's not a difficult thing to do. It takes skill, and there's movie makers that have failed in doing it. But to turn the mirror on the casual race, on the I have black friends too person that votes for Obama, you know, that thinks they're doing their part by voting for Obama, or thinks they're doing their part by having a black friend.
Right. It's preaching to the choir and succeeding.
It's so hard to do, and he does it so effortlessly. This is going to shock you that we both say watch this movie.
We like this movie.
Okay. Can we hit the dance music?
Let's go
spoilers. Spoilers ahead.
This is a spoiler warning.
Spoilers. 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 Spoilers.
Spoilers!
All right, this is the spoiler section of Get Out. If you haven't seen it already, I don't know what you're doing. Go see Get Out.
Get out of here.
Get out of this part of the podcast. Go see Get Out and come back.
God damn it.
But this is the spoiler section. Everything you want to know about the ins and outs, the plots, the ending of Get Out, and boy, is it an ending. If you want to hear about the specs, the production profiles, the movie performances, everything that leading up to this point, go back to the first 40 minutes or so of this podcast. We have it all there for you. This is for everything else going into the ending of the story Get Out. Want to start on best scenes?
Best scenes, let's do it. The two biggest scenes in the end, I would say. So do you want to start or you want me to start?
You go, because I think I'm just going to drool when I get to mine, because
well,
I'm so in
problem.
Awe.
Your scene leads into my
scene. All right, though. I'll right. take it then, but I'm just going to stand here with an erection because it's so beautifully done. I'm sorry for that
this
visual.
This is movie nerd-gasms here.
So
This if is you, if turning you, out to be gross, by the way. Cars crashed.
Gonna lick your face. Terrible. If you don't know.
Call me by your name, sound effect.
We have to cut everything. The spoiler to Get Out is that there is basically an auction for the Daniel Kaluuya character, which is what Rose, the Allison Williams character, and her family does. Rose dates these black men, brings them back home, and auctions their bodies off to be have their brains, essentially bodies, be used by these rich, well-to-do white people as the real black person's soul or brain or whatever you want to call it goes into the, quote, sunken place.
I love the promotional videos that they give. They psychologically, you know.
Hi.
Basically.
Yeah, like an infomercial.
Psychologically program that are like an infomercial. Just,
yeah, all they needed was Billy Williams. Once that has happened, Daniel Kaluuya is supposed to be taken care of. She's down. He's down in the basement to Allison Williams' thought. Being worked on by her parents. Mm-hmm. That transplant is going to happen. There's the art dealer that was at the party, played by Jim Hudson.
Yes.
Played by Stephen Root. I'm sorry, played by Stephen Root. His character is Jim Hudson. He lost his eyesight. He's an art dealer. He wants Daniel Kaluuya's eyesight because he knows he has a good eye because he's a photographer, et cetera, et cetera. So Daniel Kaluuya is getting worked on. His brain transplant's happening.
In a horror movie, always beware of the character who actually seems like befriend or relate to the protagonist.
Allison Williams, we have a scene where she is sitting silent in her room on her bed, Indian style. Yeah. She is eating a bowl of Fruit Loops by hand because she hasn't put milk in them. She hasn't put milk in them because she eats a Fruit Loop, swallows it, and then drinks a glass of pure white milk out of a black straw because the black thing is only a means to an end to satisfy the whites being used for its purpose.
Oh, my God.
It is the most beautifully, poetically done scene. The cherry on top of this scene is what's the music playing in the background, Mike?
The white girl anthem.
My God. I should lift you up over my head right now, except I have a bad back.
Dirty Dancing.
Time of My Life in Dirty Dancing is playing, blaring through her earphones. That's why she can't hear the hubbub going on downstairs as Kaluuya is trying to break out.
It's like her ritual. I mean, she's done it before.
She's currently looking up a new black boyfriend to bring home to her. That's what she's doing while eating the... She refuses to have the white milk mixed with the colored Fruit Loops. Everything about that scene is just... It makes me so happy to watch movies. I just love... That's my favorite scene of the year. Never mind the movie.
Yeah, it reminded me in Misery of the author's ritual after he finishes a novel of having one glass of Dom Perignon.
Yes, very, very good. Yes, very good analogy.
That was just great. And man, it killed. That scene made me laugh so freaking hard.
It made you laugh. To me, it was like the biggest... Fuck you!
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Fuck you! Fuck you!
I laugh at people telling other people, screw off. But just the audacity of
it. Yeah, the audacity. Yes.
Well, then my favorite scene is the very ending of the movie. The last scene, Allison Williams' character is dying on the ground, shot in the gut. They have the chase scene.
After that scene that I just talked about, Daniel Kaluuya does break out. Allison Williams is the last one of her family to try and go track him down right outside the front doors of their steps. Go ahead.
I love that finale because the brother is talking about sports with the boyfriend, Chris, the whole movie, and he gets taken out not only by a pool ball, but then he gets taken out in a jiu-jitsu move that he almost gets and wins with, and the guy does his, you know, karate on his face to kill him, and then the father gets gored by the deer's head. The father's making all these, you know, cloaked racist statements about the deer population in his wooded home area.
It's referenced. Everything
the
is referenced.
The mother is lobotomized with that little... You know,
the tea stir.
We're not smart enough. We're not Fraser Crane.
The
Chekhov's
gun moments in this movie are. I can't believe this is Jordan Peele's first film, which it's not because he's done a lot of work on Peele, which you said, but to do this on this scale with this content, unbelievable.
My worst scene of the movie is that it's not 5 or 10 minutes longer because I wish they could have, prolonged all that stuff. And on rewatch, it's just delicious rewatching, all these little things that are set up.
I get we're talking about this movie like it's a sexual endeavor or it's like a meal or something, but
cinematically, it's just a brilliant.
What more do you want? You have a horror movie, a cultural movie, action movie.
I was a Guinness commercial this whole rewatching season the last 3 weeks. brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I'm writing this stuff down. I can't believe they're pulling this off. I mean, so the last scene, to get back to my best scene, is that the way they make, or the way Jordan Peele makes you wait for the cop car rolls up, Allison Williams dying on the ground.
I thought that was the most revealing part of yourself, the looking in the mirror, because I thought, and people around me, I could tell, thought, when the black guy is strangling the white girl
here
on the ground and you see cop lights, you're like, are you fucking
this
kidding me?
This movie's going to end
here. He's
going
to go to jail for attempted murder.
And it's going to be like a lot of, you know, great movies that have dealt with racism before. He's going to end up in chains.
Because we're all awful people, none of us think it's Lil Rel with his TSA fucking car.
The B story, the whole movie, they built it up to the biggest punchline, man, and we're just celebrating after that. Now, Jordan Peele talked about this. He originally had an alternate ending that you can watch on YouTube.
Which has been released, yes.
That I've watched, where Lil Rel visits Daniel Kaluuya in jail.
Because that awful ending happens.
And
he gets caught.
He gets caught by the cops. He gets put away, but he's okay with it because he stopped the family. There's another alternate ending that Jordan Peele talks about. I haven't seen the scene, but he talks about Daniel Kaluuya is in the house, and Lil Rel finally finds him, breaks into the house, and Daniel Kaluuya goes, I don't know who you are. What is this imposition?
That
something says something
me
like
off.
That. So
that
neither
me
of those go. He goes with neither of those endings. He wanted a happy ending tacked on, especially after everything in the news at the time of the shoot. So he's literally rewriting this movie during the shoot,
That's important to remember too, because again, it's turning the mirror on yourself when this finale happened. We were just in the throes of Baltimore. We were just in the throes of Ferguson. We were all in these deep, complex cop versus protester issues.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to reflect, and you're either going to be the type that thinks it's Lil Rel, or thinks it's the cops are going to come and save the day and do the right thing, or you're the type that thinks the cops are there and they're going to just see a black man strangling a white woman. Oh shit!
I thought the cops were there.
I did too. I did too.
Surprised me, to be honest. One of the most fun endings I've seen in a movie in a long time. Plus points like crazy, and every time I watch it, I add stuff. But I do want to say, like, another thought I want to punch here is that there's so many little things in this movie that are just so well done. I love Allison Williams' bangs in this movie because it just makes her hairstyle a little off. It's almost like Glenn Close in A Fatal Attraction, where the hair is pulled back in that scene.
We thank you for all listening, all of you listeners with bangs.
We've all seen Allison Williams without bangs and everything she's done for the most part.
Yes.
If she's done it, it's a different style. And girls, you know, we've all seen her work and her in the interviews, and I've never seen that haircut. It's almost like that is a costume for her.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's something new.
It was just a little off for me the whole time. And then, yes,
and she's on record. She's on record immediately after this went wide and she did the press junket. She went blonde.
Right.
Because she was on record of saying, you know, I wanted to try something different with the movie being out, and I wanted to just get away from the character and blah, blah, blah.
Catherine Keener's voice when he goes down into the sunken place, sink into the floor. That was just great. That was great, and that freaked me out. The more I watched, that's one of those scenes where, like, the more you watch it, it freaks you out because you just imagine this, you know, being a prisoner in your own mind the rest of your life. Oh my God, pull the plug on me. This is evidence. If anything, God forbid, happens to me,
Mike's
pull the
come
freaking
back as a Stepford
plug.
Wife.
I am of sound mind and body while I'm recording this episode. Pull the plug.
I was surprised, you know, it goes back, we can say all the adulation and all the glorification of Jordan Peele we want, but I was surprised with, objectively, this plot is convoluted. I mean, this is a very weavy plot. So you're taking over these people to just use their bodies, and they're going to replace their brains, but they're still going to be in their brains. But I was surprised with how easily understandable he made it. I mean,
it's the setup payoff correlation in this movie is just so thoroughly well done. It was like I said, one of those Cornetto movies, because they literally set up all the jokes of the finale, all the crescendos of the finale in the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
And Edgar Wright has been able to blend that together in some of his more recent films, like Baby Driver, which is a favorite of mine as well this year. Just the writing capacity alone in that movie on display, I'm thrilled with. But, you know, Jordan Peele, borrowing from Edgar Wright's strategy, just executes one of his Cornetto trilogy style movies to a T in this baby. Are you kidding me? It was just great.
There's performances within performances. Allison Williams, after Kaluuya has been knocked out, is on the phone with Lil Rel. Lil Rel is talking, asking where Kaluuya is. Allison Williams is stone-faced, but her voice is worried because he hasn't heard from her in days, and she's putting on this act. Rel sniffs it out, and so Allison Williams' tones changes immediately and starts coming on to Lil Rel. I know you've always wanted me.
Yes.
She's still got that stone, dead-eyed look in her.
So you know she's putting on an act as like the good, funny girlfriend playing along.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, the whole movie that's set up, and then, you know, it winds up being Lil Rel that comes to saves the day for Crisp and ruins her day. Now, I mean, there's so many great little details that you want to go back and rewatch. I'll just tease a couple, but the way they talk about the housekeepers, there's just delicious nuggets in there. The way the brother talks about the sister's toenail collection, you're like, oh my God, serial killer, when you rewatch it. How did I not realize that the first time? Any kind of horror movie where a character asks nicely to the main characters, beware of those, like I said. The Eyes Wide Shut comment by Lil Rel freaking killed me.
Sex slave!
Yeah. I mean, again, the mother getting a lobotomy, the brother getting into a headlock, and he defeats it after that, you know, gauntlet was thrown down at the dinner table. Just delicious details.
That's actually going to take me. Do you have a worse scene? Because mine has to do with
the I body. Wanted it to be 10 minutes longer. That's my worst scene.
Yeah, and that's fair. My worst scene, I touched on it in the non-spoilers. For as great as this movie is, it's such a nitpicky worst scene, which is understandable. But for the Caleb Landry Jones character, I just didn't understand I didn't understand who he was in this movie. I didn't because there's scenes where he's sitting out on the porch as Allison Williams and Kaluuya come back in, and he seems resentful for what he knows is about to happen. But then he's the first one to knock down Kaluuya's character.
What do you think his role in the family business is? Now the father says he's off at school, but to me, like he might be the character who takes Lake Heath Stanfield in the beginning of the movie. Is he like the thug for the father? I don't know. Like,
well,
I don't know.
That's how he plays off. I mean, he uses his lacrosse stick as a weapon to get Kaluuya out, even though he can't overpower
him. Who's in
the
car in the prologue? Is it the father or is it the son? I wonder if it's the son. I wonder if the son is involved with all the scouting. The sister's on the prowl hunting for bodies, so maybe the brother is also on the prowl at the beginning of the movie, and he's on the lookout for a potential... It is an issue that Jordan Peele wanted to bring up with the making of this film is that the missing persons rate for African Americans is higher than it is for white Americans. So that is a little nugget he's talked about in the promos.
And that also is given a spotlight by Lil Rel talking to the cops about his friend missing. And he goes, you know, I don't know if she's doing it for some sex slaver shit. You know, he's telling the story to the actual cops.
Right.
And what do the cops end up doing? They laugh in his face. And that's also in and of itself a commentary on how missing black people are treated a lot of times.
I tell you, the scene with the cop after they hit the deer, which was a good jump scare in the theater,
yes.
I would say. But after they hit the deer, Allison Williams comes to his aid. Like you think a good girlfriend would, a woke white person would. You think she might be one of those people that you want to like in this movie, but in reality, you flip it all on its head. She's doing that because she wants no record of this guy ever being there. If the guy takes his ID and runs it through the machine, then the cop would remember who this person was, and when he's a missing person a year from now
that's
or whatever
really
it
point.
Is,
that's
oh my God, like that's why
point.
She's doing it. Yeah. She's protecting her family's ass. She's not doing it for her own reason. So there's a ton of lines that have dual and triple meanings in this movie, and it's delicious. You gotta watch it again if you've seen it once, and you gotta keep listening to podcasts like ours, because we're in our spoiler sections we do these deep dives, and I'm just having a blast here. What else you got, Mike?
I can't believe the balls on George. I mean, one of the first lines of dialogue is, have you told your parents that I'm a black guy? Do they know you're dating a black guy? So
right.
There are no qualms, questions, or misdirection about what the subject matter of this film is going to be from the get-go. And the balls to do what he did and to pull it off with such aplomb and grace and just emotion and anger. And again, have you heard any backlash against this movie?
No, and there shouldn't be.
But
I think the movie holds up, but it raises point. Like I've raised its rank in terms of my grade.
I have as well. I've picked it up a couple. It's getting itself into thinking where I might pick it for Best Picture. We'll get to that when it comes up later on down the line.
Yeah, we'll do some fun re-ranks. We'll re-rank the categories. We'll re-rank the Academy movies. We'll also throw our own movies that we like that have not been nominated or not on the radar. But this movie is going to be, it's a top five for me now, and it's probably going to stay there no matter what.
Get Jordan Peele Oscar nominations.
Yes.
Give him a trophy for screenplay or director, but he needs to be in both those categories.
And you're quoting yourself from the first episode. Yeah. So we've been saying this all along. I'm proud of us.
I don't want to say there's no better movie done this year.
Sound of me patting my own back.
You barely reach. But New Year's resolutions haven't kicked in yet.
I don't know that there's a more culturally relevant movie that's been done in the last 20 or so years, and the charge that this has led to do it all under the guise of a horror movie.
I mean, yeah, and speechless. As a white guy, it got in my face. As a genre fan, I loved it. I'm waving the flag for it, like we said, and it's funny, it's scary, it accomplishes both those things, which is impossible for most of the movies we've seen thus far. Like Cabin in the Woods is kind of funny, but that's not scary. It has some problems, even though it's one of the stronger horror comedies in a while. You know, the Cornetto trilogy is more funny than it is scary. Young Frankenstein was never scary going all the way back. You know, so you've had parodies of horror movies that just take the structure of one or the other. They don't go horror comedy. They take the structure of a horror movie. In my opinion, Mary Harron's American Psycho was the last movie that scared the shit out of me and made me laugh hysterically. It did both. And this movie had done the same thing, especially upon rewatch, and especially the creep factor. Like, this is a Stepford Wives-like creep factor, a Rosemary's Baby-like creep factor going on.
We didn't even touch on the biggest Stepford Wives scene, which is a big point in the movie where he snaps the picture of Dre, and that's where the guy that's better known as Dre previously is. Comes out of his sunken place. There's so much in this movie.
Now, I do want to say I did not like the marketing for it. Like the marketing for this movie, the trailers, you know, Blumhouse kind of tried to fit it. Like it never thought it was going to be an awards movie. It tried to fit it.
It was released in February. That's
right.
February
is usually crap month.
Dead month, yeah.
Yeah. It tried to pitch it as like this horror movie that maybe they'd make their money back with, right?
February is like the Monuments Men month.
You know, exactly.
Ones that at some point thought it might be awards, but now no longer are.
You know, it's maybe now they're trying to look at it after Get Out as a month where you can put a blockbuster in there. Black Panther's coming out in February.
Yep.
For good reason.
The momentum is surprising, and it isn't. It's not surprising in the fact that it deserves this momentum because it's that good of a movie. It is surprising in the fact that people are waking up to it being that good of a movie. And I'm surprised and I'm happy. And I hope it carries it to a couple statues on Oscar night.
So I think the last time I mentioned my grade, it was a 90 A-. I've plussed it 2 points. It's still an A-, but it's a 92. I've had years where 91s are my best movie of the year. So, I mean, I got a tough grading system. I've been grading movies for like 10 years because I'm a total nerd in my movie-watching life. So I can compare them. That's what I try to do. It's like, oh, well, is it better than this movie a couple years ago? And I look at all my lists, and now I'm like, after rewatches, I'm like, yeah, it's better than that movie. Maybe I didn't have it on the level. And 92 A-, so one of my top five movies of the year so far. What do you think?
We're right in that range. I'm 91 A- myself.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be a hard grader. I don't remember what I did in the first episode. I think it was 88, 89, 87, somewhere in there.
Right.
It could climb even higher. I mean, this is, as more time passes, the more you rewatch this movie, the more you fall in love with it. And
Feinberg has it as his number one right now. He thinks it's going to win Best Picture. And they were saying,
if Moonlight and Get Out go back to back on Best Picture,
right?
Good job, Academy.
Horror comedy winning Best Picture, that would be refreshing too. I mean, never mind the racial undertones or whatever that. You know, I don't know.
Cue all the people out there calling us social justice warriors and liberal white snobs now. Go ahead. So if you want to reach out to us, let us know your thoughts. What did you think of Get Out? Have you seen it more than once? Does it get better for you on repeat viewings? Do you take off points in certain areas that we didn't touch on? Let us know.
Let us know all of that as we do this
Oscar sprint. We're getting you ready for Academy Awards nominations times Tuesday, January 23rd. Reach out to us on any platform. We'll do our best and our damnedest to respond. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and O underscore pod on Twitter. We are Mike, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com. We want to hear from you. We love hearing from you. And we thank you guys so much for listening, spreading the word, getting our name out there.
We're getting consistent listens, and we really do appreciate it because, you know, the fan, it tells us the fans that we're getting are consistently coming back for more. So, yeah, we're trying to put ourselves in front of more people. If you can help us do that a little bit, you know, tell a couple friends about us, you know, a few clicks on social media here and there, a positive review, a like, you know, a tweet, a repost, all those little things, you know, just – for 10 seconds to help us out. That would
really means the world to us. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully we're killing some time for you, whether on your commute or during your day job or at night. You can avoid your family, put on your earphones, and listen to us rattle about movies that you may love.
I listen to podcasts even like before we even thought about listening to podcasts and, or before we even thought about recording one of our own.
Mike has a time machine.
Yeah, I would listen to podcasts doing chores. I would listen to podcasts commuting to and fro. I'd listen to podcasts during the workday. I would listen to podcasts, you know, just muting the ball game because I got tired of watching all the commercials.
Because reality sucks. We keep telling you that. That's how we're going to end this one as well. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Cannot wait to keep giving you these Oscar Sprint profiles. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya.